8 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Easy for me to say. Most trusted name in automobiles. It is a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you have something you want to complain about today, get off your chest. All you need to do is reach out to us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Your concerns about the Broncos' new uniforms. What are you hoping to see? We know that colors are going to be pretty much the same. We know that the Cyber Broncos, they're going to be there. But Greg Penner yesterday said that there's going to be what speaks to Broncos country or something along those lines, and not elements of Colorado, but nods to Colorado. Well, here's Greg Penner once again. This is what he said about the Broncos' new unis.
Really excited. It's time for a change, and we think we'll have something that honors Broncos country, and our fans will be pleased with elements of Colorado.
Elements of Colorado.
So, if the color scheme's not going to change, and the logo's not going to change, what exactly is time for a change mean? What does that mean exactly? Like just a different order?
I don't know. Or
instead of ABC, we're now going BAC?
Because Broncos president Damani Leach at the meetings in Orlando said it'll feature the same logo and colors. But they promised a full redesign.
So are they invert? Are they going orange numerals on the white?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And when he means elements of Colorado, what does that mean? Initially, it says to me, they're going to find a way to put the stripes are going to look like a mountain range or something. Because there's only so much you can do.
Subaru jersey sponsorship?
Maybe. I don't know. Some weedery over in Denver? No, yeah. I don't think that. No, probably not. I don't know.
Applejack wine and spirits?
It's the bottom of the fifth. We hope to have some news, by the way, on our Rockies broadcasts.
Yes.
Because we are working on some things that, and hopefully tomorrow morning.
Because we are the team's only hope at this point.
Because they're not going to be on TV.
Getting covered.
And unless you want to pay $19.99 a month, we're going to be the place you get Rockies baseball this season. And so we're working on it right now of being able to tell you where you're going to be, because normally it'd be the team, be right here.
Yeah.
But because of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, it's not going to be on team tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we are working on that and hope to have an answer for you on that tomorrow. Somebody says Subaru emblem and a pot leaf. Steve had Towley.
That's great.
Come on, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I have no idea what's going on.
I think I'd look great on the helmet.
Bloodshot eyes.
Larry from Clifton. He can care less about the new uniforms. How about the ownership focus on getting a winning team on the field first?
Look good, play good, Larry.
Come on, Larry. Haven't you heard that? Look good, play good. Okay, Larry, I'm going to bring this up. So they shouldn't be thinking about changing the uniforms because all the focus should be on they can't do two things at once?
So are you going to give back the current uniforms that you have because they didn't try to win? They didn't win under the old uniforms. They changed them and then won two Super Bowls and then a third later on.
Yeah. I remember people lost their minds when they're not going to have an orange jersey.
Mm-hmm. And look what happened.
Oh, won back-to-back Super Bowls. Love them.
Since you brought back the orange jerseys, what's happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just... Okay, you don't care, Larry. No, I do. The bigger picture stuff is draft. What's going to happen to this team? What does it look like moving forward? On the field. The roster, yeah. But I think you could also still talk about the uniforms and also do the other at the same time.
We can have two different things you would like to see as a fan of the team. You would like them to play better and also maybe look better. Unless Larry's just one of those guys. Like, and Larry has been in our bowling league, so I know he has at least two different things he does, whatever he does at home and bowling. So he's familiar with the concept. I know that much.
Okay, so got a couple things to get to. Yeah, no one likes orange jerseys signed Tampa, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Chicago, Miami from Brian Forlow's College yeah. Raider. Who also had a text. Did you get to this text yesterday? I don't know if we did.
No, we didn't get to this yesterday.
This was during Mav Day.
Yeah, no, it was during the early portion, but we had so much going on.
Okay, I was looking at the time here. Because
7:18, it looks like, from yesterday. Oh, well. It came in yesterday.
Okay, 7:08. I'm looking at the one above it. I'm sorry. Yeah, gotcha. They came in early. We just didn't get to it. So if J.J. McCarthy is so stinking good, why doesn't Harbaugh trade Justin Herbert to the Bears for 3 first-rounders so he can draft his golden boy? Would the Bears turn that down? How many playoff games has Herbert won?
As it turns out, Jim Harbaugh, used car salesman. Just kind of a slimy guy. So, yeah.
What's been my theory? That somehow he'll find a way to draft J.J. McCarthy if he possibly can. Maybe that still happens.
Turn him into Austin Eckler part 2.
He trades Justin Herbert. I said that the other day. I had that theory. That not entirely a tinfoil hat theory. It's a theory.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy theory. Some of the stuff Cake has is just tinfoil hat. I'm sorry, Cake. It's tinfoil hat.
In a microwave. That's how scrambled some of that
in
is.
In a microwave, yes, no absolutely. Offense. Absolutely.
Cake catching strays this morning, but...
Sorry, Cake.
There's some
Love
stuff
you, man.
That's like...
Eh. You're our boy, Blue.
Yeah. You getting enough sleep?
Mountain Dave. I hope the new uniforms have much better players in them. Me too.
Yes.
Let's see, from Taylor, it'd be good with the tutus and the new uniforms if we had a franchise quarterback to build a competitive team around. And I'm going to save Roberts for a little bit because we're not talking baseball right now. We'll talk some baseball. It's a little bit of Rockies coming up. He's beating the Pete Rose drum hard the last couple of days.
He's beating the dead horse that is
because of the showy
Pete
thing.
Pete Rose banned himself from baseball.
Yeah, well, we'll save that. Coming up for the next segment, because right now it's time for...
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, before we get into it, because we talked a lot about the NFL kickoff rule that they'll implement this season, let's get to the Broncos brass in Orlando. So you have Greg Penner, owner, CEO, out in Orlando this week. And here's Greg Penner on the law firm of Payton and Payton and the relationship both head coach and GM have heading into, of course, this very important draft, April 25th.
He's, I mentioned it after the end of the season. He's working really well with Sean. They've built a relationship of trust. I think they share a common vision for how they want to build the roster. And I've got a lot of confidence in the two of them working together and making good decisions for this team go forward.
That's because Peyton with a Y tells Peyton with a T exactly
how
it's going to work.
So can we get somebody street level to write these statements at some point? I don't need boardroom seat. They've built a relationship on confidence and trust. It's like, they get along fine. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we get somebody off the street to write these statements?
To me,
this is the point we're trying to get across.
Just be blunt about it. Just be
people words.
Yeah, they're
like actual, real people words.
A couple of guys. They're professionals.
Yeah,
they seem like they work well together.
They're two football lifers that want to win.
They want to win.
So they're gonna get along, or they're not. Right now, they're getting along.
And if they don't, George Payton's gone.
Sean Payton is in charge. George knows that.
Yeah. And maybe, okay, he's not going to say that, but he's, I mean, just stop the
They
corporate.
Built a relationship on confidence and trust. Oh, slap. Gag
time.
Me with a spoon.
They've spent time together, going on They're retreats.
On going. They've done trust falls.
Exactly. Doing lots of trust falls. Spending a lot of time together trying to build.
They're on the rappelling course.
Yeah.
Peyton's rappelling.
On the rappelling course.
George, Sean is rappelling. George is on belay.
All right. Here's Greg Penner on, hey, this is not a rebuild, people. We're still going to be competitive.
We're passionate about being competitive, and that's both in the short term and the long term. You can call it sort of whatever you want, but our focus is on putting the best possible team on the field this coming year. I don't think there are any shortcuts or quick fixes, so we're going to do this in the right way and have this team be competitive this coming season, but also be in a position to build for the future.
Once again,
we're being competitive. Like, what? Who talks like that?
Okay, we're just going to slap this thing together. We're going to gorilla glue it and duct tape it together, and we'll find some guys in the UFL, and we'll just kind of half-ass and see how it goes.
Like, when I think passionate, are you're like breaking into tears over how competitive you want to be, and that just doesn't jive with the aura of Greg Penner puts off.
So we move on from Greg Penner to George Payton, Broncos GM, ?
Pay no mind to the strings on his arm.
Sign on the door says that. Actual authority? I'm not so sure. But anyway, George Payton, talking about evaluating talent, kind of dovetails into moving up in the draft potentially for the Broncos.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, the tape. You know, you watch the tape. Does he fit what you're doing? Do you have a clear vision for this player moving forward? And then just, you know, being around the player as much as you can. You know, obviously the talent comes into play, the scheme, and then just trying to get around these players, get to know these players. That's what we've been trying to do with our scouts in the fall and the summer. In the fall, towards the end of the fall, get more involved in that. You know, Senior Bowl, All-Star Games, Combine, you know, all these steps are different steps where you get to know these players, you know, whether it's quarterback or left tackles. And so that's what we're doing. It's a race for information right now. We don't have a lot of time. That's why it's hard to come here, you know, the anxiety. But it's a race for information. We're all trying to gather it and try to make the best possible decision.
When it comes to the first round, whether you're trading up or trading down, when do those conversations really begin to happen about moving around?
Oh, you talk about them. Sean and I talk every day, multiple times a day, just about everything. But probably not serious until we get into draft meetings, you know, and you kind of get a, you know, I've talked to most of the teams ahead of us. I've talked to a lot of teams behind us. I kind of know who's, it is a little early, but I know who's willing to move. You kind of know the teams that are typically willing to move. And so you always want to have a, you know, to know how much it is to move up and then same how much you get if you move back. So we'll have a good lay of the land by the time we get, you know, 2 weeks ahead of the draft.
All right. That's George Payton from the meetings out in Orlando, Florida. So latest mock from Matt Miller of ESPN. He's got the Broncos trading up to 4th to get J.J. McCarthy, because he has the Vikings moving up to get Drake May from North Carolina at the number 3 spot.
Because it's J.J. McCarthy's week, right? We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. Every quarterback has their week to where, oh my gosh, what a steal this kid's going to be in the draft.
This is the guy.
This is the guy. Remember, 3 weeks ago, started this month, all the mocks we went over had the Broncos able to get J.J. McCarthy at 12.
Now,
have to trade up to 4 to get him.
Yep, there's no way they'll get him unless they get inside the top 5.
Because J.J. McCarthy's having his week. He's going to come back down to earth because I think next week is Michael Penix Jr. He hasn't had his week yet.
And then he'll go out. He'll look really good in his pro day. And we're going to be like, oh, look at Michael Penix Jr.
You got to get into the top 5 and get Michael Penix.
Look at this guy. Look what he did.
So, yeah.
Got the Huskies to the end of the college football playoffs. Yep.
Won the Pac-12's first ever college football playoff game.
Yeah, got into the title game.
Last ever as well. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're gonna have that come up in a little bit. So,
but then, did Drake May already have his pro day?
I don't think Drake May's had his week yet either.
Because Drake May will have his week.
Yeah. But he's starting to a little bit, right? Because last week was J.J. McCarthy. Now the Broncos have to trade up to get him. Now you hear, oh, well, so-and-so is going to trade up to get Drake May at 3 or 4. He's starting to have his week now, too. It comes and goes.
that's the part of, it's playing poker. It's trying to throw people off the track. That's how this all works when it's, when you're leading up to the draft. Do we know that Sean Payton loves J.J. McCarthy? He referenced the fact they had a private workout with him.
But do we know that they loves him that
or
much?
Or is it Sean Payton just screwing with people? Making them think that they want J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they actually want Bo Nix. Because wouldn't that make more sense? Why, in terms of, if I'm showing interest in a player, then all the other teams are going to go, well, maybe they're on something we're not. I think most of them are too smart for that. They do their due diligence. They're smart enough to know that. But there's always going to be some guy with a team, an owner.
Right. There's going to be some rube named Andrew Berry or Jimmy Haslam. That's
They're talking about that guy. That guy must be pretty good. What are we doing? Are we doing our due diligence on this guy? Maybe we need to go get him.
Every year, the league has at least two or three marks.
There's a rabbit. Let's go chase that one.
Chase that rabbit. They have two or three marks. But for me, J.J. McCarthy's never made sense because what's the thing we hear about Sean Payton and his offense? The thing that Russell Wilson couldn't do is
throw from the pocket.
Throw from rhythm. The pocket. Go through it fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Process the defense quickly. Ball out of your hand fast.
Which offense is A, the fastest, and B, quarterback kind of has to do the most outside of Oregon. No one else. J.J. McCarthy didn't have to do anything.
Bo Nix makes a lot of sense.
He's a passenger on that train, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is the conductor of that train.
Had some good games. Guy that I think should have still went back and played another year.
Yeah.
At Michigan. But he's still going to be a top five pick the way things are looking right now.
Which is baffling.
Which, there are things about watching him, I've gone back and watched him a little bit. There are things, he does process quickly. He does get the ball out of his hands quickly. But there's not enough there. The body of work, and well, I get it. He won a national championship. That's great. They also had a stellar running game with Blake Corum company. Incredible defense and a fantastic offensive line. You're right. Troy Smith did. Didn't make him a great NFL quarterback. And we're close. I just think in the case of McCarthy, you just don't know enough yet about him. That's where another year at Michigan or wherever he would have hit the portal or gone someplace else to get a better sense of how good is he when there's more asked of him in an offense than what he was asked to do. Did he make some big plays? Made some great plays against Alabama. I mean, he's a guy that is an intriguing player. It's not like he's garbage. It's not like he's nothing. You just don't, and take the Michigan brand off that for you. And I think you're better about that than you used to be in terms of evaluate the player, not with the uniform that he's in.
Right. And the player just is good.
There's good things about him, but there's not enough where you just go, yep. Caleb Williams, like him or not, the skill set's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are impressive. He was asked to do an awful lot at USC. And so whether you like the personality like that about him, those aspects, okay, that's up for debate and certainly a reasonable thing to talk about. But just the skill, just watching him play,
And Lincoln Riley's offense is got quarterbacks into the NFL.
Yes,
Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Yep, these are guys that are successful.
There's a track record there.
Yeah.
Of getting guys.
Imagine how
starting.
Good Kyler could have been had he actually learned it.
Exactly. If he would have stopped playing video games and paid some attention, got on the Surface tablet and studied plays. I just think with McCarthy, you just haven't seen enough to go, yep, that's the guy.
I still say if
Nix, I feel much better about particularly how his career finished at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to the Auburn years, okay, I could see where you might go, be underwhelmed. But the Oregon, the 2 years at Oregon, that was a different guy. That was a different quarterback than you saw at Auburn.
If you beat a team on the road by less than 10 points, and they're a top 10 team, and you did literally nothing in the second half, then I don't know how good you are. Michigan won at Penn State by 9 points. J.J. McCarthy did nothing. He threw zero passes, as many as you and I did combined in the second half. Like, if you aren't needed to beat a top 10 ranked team on the road, then why do I need you in the NFL? It doesn't matter if it's Michigan, USC,
right.
Oregon,
wherever.
Ohio State. Doesn't matter. It's a top 10 ranked team on the road, one of the hardest places to play college football. You had to do literally nothing.
Just be competent.
All you had to do was breathe
Make some plays on third down occasionally, take care of the ball in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it, once again, it's not like, I don't think either one of us are saying we think J.J. McCarthy can't play, he's terrible. No, I think there's things when you watch his game, you go, okay, this is a guy that next year could be one of the top quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He will be one of the top quarterbacks taken this year.
Yeah.
He could be one of the top quarterbacks next year.
He would be Caleb Williams next year.
Possibly. Yeah.
Heisman front runner.
Yeah.
Number one
Absolutely.
Pick walking into camp in
Absolutely.
Ann Arbor in July.
I know the Shedeur Sanders fans will say, well, what about Shedeur? What about Carson Beck at Georgia?
You got to prove something. And you're right. J.J. McCarthy won a national championship. It's not like he did nothing the entire season.
But he individually needs, at least to me, I need to see more than what I saw.
He needs to be a driver, not a passenger. He was a passenger this year a lot of the time.
And occasionally grabbed the wheel and made some plays and did some good things for Michigan, but not to the level of,
right.
I totally believe this guy can come in, be my quarterback, put this team on his back at times and carry them.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix has done that. Caleb Williams did that. I think Michael Penix Jr.'s done that.
Where J.J. McCarthy is going to be drafted, he needs to be way more can't miss than he is.
And right now, there's just, to me, too many questions about him still.
Agreed.
All right, very quickly, owners approved the kickoff rule change. So we talked about a lot in hour one, where the players will be lined up 5 yards apart from each other, and only the kicker and the return man or men can move.
Sneezing's a penalty now, apparently.
Stop it.
Ah.
So,
5 yards.
I have this question, and I'm glad I was able to look it up here. What about onside kicks?
You have to declare.
You have to declare now. You have to say, we are...
Yep.
We're going onside kick. In this case, why can't we do the fourth down and 18 or 20 or whatever? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be so much better?
Because that is... just as, what's the word I'm looking for? Transparent. Like, oh, we're going to try an onside kick. Well, okay, let's try to get 18 yards. If we don't get it, you get it at your 25 regardless. If we get it, we get the ball.
Squib kicks are downwards recovered.
Mm-hmm.
So forget that. Don't even think about that. Do you know the XFL? Well, the UFL now. They've done away with this. So this is, as Florio puts it in Pro Football Talk, the XFL's trash or UFL's trash is now the NFL's gold.
What did the UFL get in exchange for this trade?
I don't know.
Existence?
We're not going to crush you. We will let you survive.
The NFL let Fox put them on TV?
Three teams opposed the change, by the way. The Niners, Raiders, and Packers. And this is a one-year deal, so this could be gone after this season.
That's exactly what the NFL needs. Change rules for a year, because the replay review on PI worked so well, didn't it?
I'm sorry, it smacks of NASCAR at times. My criticism of NASCAR, hey, let's change this rule in the middle of the season about if the wing nut is tightened properly to a certain degree of tension or
I'm
whatever.
I'm waiting for NASCAR to change rules in the middle of a race.
Exactly.
It's like, we hate this Logano kid. Can we figure out a way that he doesn't win?
If you finish dead last, you've won.
Yeah. Relegation. You go to the Xfinity Series for the rest of the year.
I like the relegation. You go down to the Xfinity Series. All right, 8:24. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. And we'll take a break in just a moment, and we'll talk some baseball. We'll also have Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us. But Amon from Fruita Parks and Rec with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing good.
What's going on with Fruita Parks and Rec these days?
Yeah, so tomorrow at 4:15 at the Fruita Community Center, we're doing our annual Easter Egg Scramble. This is a free event. You just have to register online at fruita.org/parksrec and bring your kids and let them look for Easter eggs in the Fruita Community Center backyard.
All right, sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Anything going on, Ammon, with the Rec Center itself right now?
We have a couple of things going on. On April 12th, we're doing our youth scholarship golf tournament at Adobe Creek. Individuals can sign up. It's $75 a person, or a group of four is $300. And there's prizes, giveaways, and we're going to have beer from Base Camp Beer Works there. So it's
good
stuff. It's
going to
be a good time. And then our Mike the Headless Chicken Festival is coming up May 31st. Car show, live entertainment, peep eating contest, and the annual 5K race. Which you'll be able to register for next week.
Do you know who the musical acts will be yet, or are you still working on that?
We have a list, but there's quite a few of them.
Okay, well,
it'll be posted online.
All right, very good. So that's coming up at the end of May. And anything else?
No, not that I have right now.
Okay, so. Hammond, appreciate you coming in today. And people can get all the information at your website, correct?
Yeah, fruta.org/parksrec.
All right, Hammond, appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, 8:26, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk a little baseball. Rockies getting the win against Milwaukee yesterday. Season opener is tomorrow when they take on Arizona. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 8:29. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Going from Junction Joe this morning. I saw Junction Joe in a TV commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw him at Bracket Blues.
I saw him in person there, yeah. Too, but I also saw him on the tube the other day, looking good.
One of my new Facebook or Instagram followers, for some reason, I guess. Welcome aboard, though.
How come he's not an Instagram follower of mine? Oh, that's right, because
you don't have Instagram.
Don't have Instagram, and probably never, ever will.
You said the same thing about texting, though, and also using emojis in text. So you're going to have an Instagram soon, I think.
No.
I see your face popping up on the people you may know on Instagram, though.
Oh.
So you have an account out there, apparently. It's all dog pictures, but you have one.
Yeah, okay, we did one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had the dog that James Ferguson.
Yeah, Apple, right? Something like that?
No, that was different. We had Albert, which was we fostered Albert when he was a puppy, and James and Amanda over at Cutter Craft Coffee, they adopted him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apple was a different dog. Apple, we did a couple of different fosters for Royce Hurst, and Apple was the one, and we found a home for him, fortunately. Yep.
This is the one that's your Instagram.
Yeah, we had him on. We did an Instagram because it was recommended. Hey, mm-hmm. Put it out there.
You have one.
And so, but we had it for Apple, but I don't do anything.
Technically.
But I don't really do anything with it.
Dog can't sign up for. But no, anyway,
we don't have the dog either because he found a home, which was the point of.
Yeah, should have transferred the Instagram account over.
Here, Apple. Here, buddy.
Yeah, here you go. Here, bud. You're old enough now to have your own account.
So anyway.
Anyway, Junction Joe.
Sorry, that's right. I'll be honest. I forgot that we had that.
That's I see it every once in a while, and I just chuckle. I'm like, I think that was four dogs ago. Three or four dogs?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been a while, yeah. See, good pickups for the Broncos in the draft. Quarterback Andrew Peasley and linebacker Easton Gibbs from U of A. Hashtag GoPokes, hashtag Junction Joe. P.S. How will Mesa basketball look next year now? I have no idea.
Real different.
It's going to look real different.
Because I think they're losing five or six guys.
Because we don't know if Ethan Menzies is coming back.
Have a whole new coaching staff.
We know Baskin's not coming back. We know Reese Johnson's not coming back. I don't know. Other guys could hit the portal. Joe, I wish I had a better answer for you, buddy. I don't know. I just don't know. It's going to be tough to replace Mike. What a class guy. Mm-hmm. What a tremendous coach. Cal Poly's got him a good one.
Yeah.
With Mike DeGeorge. No doubt about that. But great to hear from you, Junction Joe. Also, from Guru, how do you declare the onside kick? Swipe both hands down the front of your knees or with a bullhorn? I'm not impressed with the new rules. I had a hard enough time explaining the rules to my mother-in-law already.
I think you put the ball on the tee, put your nose on the ball, and spin around four times. I think that's how you declare. And then slam a Coors Light.
That sounds like...
Shotgun of beer.
That sounds like some kind of of keg race kind of thing you would do with Kegathon over at CMU.
Have you read the new rules?
Kind of sounds like that. Like I said, if you ever watched the Fantastic Mr. Fox, the animated one with George Clooney does the voice, I think it's a Roald Dahl book, and they play a game in it, and it's so, they spend like 3 minutes explaining this game that they play, and you're just going, you don't know how it works. You have no idea how it works.
There's board games like that that I don't play.
So I also got one from Phil this morning. Let's go with the orange jersey from the Orange Crush days, maybe 5280 in the stripes and the sleeve, white helmet with the old logo and white pants, no stripe. Well, they already said that it's going to be the old logo, or it's going to be the new logo, the current logo, I should say, not the current logo is what they have. So.
That's not a bad look there, though, Phil.
It's not bad. No, it's not bad at all. All right, we got a text from Robert this morning.
I got a few from Robert.
Yeah. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
My Wednesday wine, gambling in Major League Baseball, MLB's holier-than-thou attitude toward Pete Rose doesn't hold water any longer. MLB encourages gambling, as do all the other leagues. Gambling is a disease that needs treatment, not punishment. Pete has been punished enough. Enough is enough. Pete wants to be in the Hall of Fame. The heck with everything else that was said or decided upon in the past. Shohei has blown up everything in regard to gambling in MLB. Okay. Shohei Ohtani did make an appearance yesterday. Mm-hmm. Said the money was stolen from him by his interpreter.
Now,
that remains to be seen whether that's true or not.
What did Shohei Ohtani actually do? Other than apparently trust a pathological liar. And who hasn't in the past?
Everybody's had at least one friend like that or colleague.
So, first of all, Shohei Ohtani has done nothing in this whole thing other than, at worst, right now, what we know from what everything said, at worst, try to help a friend.
Because Ohtani said, to summarize how I'm feeling right now, this obviously through an interpreter. Mm-hmm. Different guy. I'm just beyond shock. It's really hard to verbalize how I'm feeling at this point. Mitsuhara, his former interpreter, stole $4.5 million to pay off his gambling debts. That's what Ohtani alleges.
Now, if you take Mitsuhara at his word, even he says that Shohei had nothing to do with this. He was just trying to help me out. Right? That's what he said the first time around.
So
what does Shohei Ohtani do, really?
He had somebody that took advantage of him, whether it was knowingly or unknowingly.
Right.
Mitsuhara took advantage of him.
And when it comes to the, what did he say about, it encourages gambling. They all do. Not a single league encourages their players or employees to gamble.
Very true.
The Michael Porter's brother in Toronto is under investigation because he had, or somebody close to him, bet a large amount of money on his under shooting totals and then took himself out of the game. And instead of the NBA being like, yeah, that's what we want, which Robert is saying as they're encouraging gambling, they're like, nope, you're done. We're going to investigate this.
Jonte Porter.
Yeah. And then thirdly, I went into the Hall of Fame as well. Just because I say I want in doesn't mean I can get in. If I agreed to be banned for life, you probably should have thought through the fact that I might live for another 50 years. This might suck.
And once again, let's separate Pete Rose, the manager, from Pete Rose, the player. Should Pete Rose, the player, be in? Yes. But that's not how this works, though.
No.
Pete Rose, the manager, bet on baseball. Bet on his own team. Didn't bet against them, but bet on them.
Mm-hmm. And I don't believe Pete on when he says he didn't bet as a player and he didn't bet against the Reds. I don't believe
points
that.
Points irrelevant, though. To me, it doesn't matter whether
doesn't matter.
He bet on the sport that it's in the clubhouse that says you can't do.
Yeah.
Now, should baseball at some point, I think if Pete would have been more contrite, I think then probably some commissioner along the line would have said, okay, we're going to take a ban off of you in regard to you as a player going to the Hall of Fame. We're just going to have people measure you on your merits as a player. And he was a great player. a self-made guy.
Yeah.
Not a guy that had an incredible amount of talent. A guy just worked his butt off and turned himself into a really good baseball player, a great baseball player, a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. But you just can't automatically go, well, because this happened with Shohei Ohtani,
right?
Then all of a sudden that excuses Pete Rose for what Pete Rose did.
It's completely disingenuous to say, well, Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame now because Shohei Ohtani's interpreter duped him and gambled him on other sports.
I've always thought Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. To me, I can separate the two things. The guy that was the player, mm-hmm. was a Hall of Fame player, from the guy that was not a great manager, the bet on baseball. I can separate the two. But that's me. Yeah. I don't matter in this thing. He agreed to the lifetime ban. And that ban included not going to the Hall of Fame.
The rest of his life.
Then that covered Pete Rose, the manager, mm-hmm. Pete Rose, the former player.
If Pete Rose dies January 2nd, 2028, January 3rd, 2028, put him on the ballot. I don't care.
Sure.
He agreed to the lifetime ban.
He agreed
to it. Case closed.
Yeah, when you agree to something, you know what the ramifications are.
That's like pleading guilty without any coercion.
And then going later going, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't do it.
Or being caught with bet slips in your hand.
Exactly.
I
grew up being a Reds fan. Love Pete Rose. I think he's a Hall of Fame player, but that point's irrelevant because of what he agreed to, his actions that he took when he managed the Reds.
Hey, because Shohei's interpreter bet on baseball. Let's reinstate all the Black Sox too.
Shoeless Joe still remains.
But now it's completely different because Shohei's interpreter bet on basketball.
It's like Robert, the two things are not the same. They're not the same situation. All right, 8:39, and Avs radio voice Connor McGahee joins us next. Talk about the Avs and loss to the Canadiens last night as the winning streak comes to an end.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots. On Colorado's sports leader, the team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the team.
And with us right now, radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Fine, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Before we talk about the Avalanche, I do have to talk about one of our favorite TV shows. We talked about it last week, Land of the Lost. Ron Harper played Uncle Jack, died the other day at 91.
Oh, he did. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was the Marshall replacement because I think the guy played Marshall on the show, the dad, mm-hmm. held out for more money because Land of the Lost was such a huge show back in the day. He was able to hold out. But yeah, sadly, Ron Harper, Uncle Jack, died from
That is a bummer. I missed that. So it's always interesting when they replace somebody in the show and you're like, wait, or a movie or a series of movies, and you're like, wait, it's kind of the same person, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like my experience is a little different, but.
Yeah, the two Darrens back in the 60s on Bewitched, or in this case, yes. Marshall gets replaced by Uncle Jack looking for.
Right. They replaced Kinch, like six, seven seasons of Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you can't do that.
The two Beckys on Roseanne back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always tough. If that's, I know the franchise is riding on it, but no one wants to be on board if it's not the whole deal.
Absolutely correct. You're so right about that. It was just, Land of the Lost was just never quite the same.
No, it wasn't, but rest in peace.
Yes, Uncle Jack, Ron Harper, rest in peace.
It's just funny because when we were in New York City on our long road trip back in beginning of February, there are a couple steakhouses there in NYC called Uncle Jack's, and that's where Kiefer and Riker and Moshe and I all went to dinner that first night on the road. So we had a steak for Uncle Jack.
What a lovely tribute to Uncle Jack from Land of the Lost. How kind of you guys to do that.
Sadly foreshadowing, I guess.
I guess. So as we circle it all back around talking about the Avalanche, the winning streak comes to an end last night against Montreal. The Avs see their 9-game winning streak come to an end, 2-1 loss. But the streak continues for Mac. A goal last night, and the home scoring streak continues, second longest in league history.
Yeah, the winning streak cause of death officially, I'm looking here on the report, is boredom. And so, which is mean, that's going to happen. But the winning streak got bored to death by the Montreal Canadiens last night. But right, 43 seconds into the game, Nathan McKinn he's the only player now in NHL history to have two point streaks of 19 games inside the same season. And that's, he tied his own record for the longest in the league this year. And now he's going for Paul Stastny's 20 in a row. So McKinnon continues to just be in and around Gretzky in a bunch of different conversations. You hope that Kucherov doesn't have another four-point night tonight. The two of them are now tied for the points lead in the NHL, the 123. But that was the only good part about that entire hockey game last night, was Nathan McKinnon's 46th goal of the season.
Eustis Sandin, 24 saves, 26 shots last night. And I like what Andrew Cogliano said. He goes, like, we just didn't play well enough in front of him. Yeah. They also just couldn't find the back of the net against Montreal's goalie as well. He was really good last night. But Anninen, you know, overall played pretty well last night for Colorado.
Yeah, the first two, I'm sure he's not going to love. I mean, that's, the first shift after you score is an important one. And Cogliano's right. Coverage was not great. Mittelstadt sort of misses his check on Suzuki. But, I mean, any time a goaltender gives up 1-5 hole, it's never one that you want. The second one, he thinks he has the puck is sort of sitting behind him. Armia picks it up. And I don't know. Had two defenders there. I'm not sure how that doesn't deflect out. It went in. But, you know, just more evidence of how it wasn't the Avs' night last night. And that's going to happen. And Jared Bednar is saying this morning, he goes, you know, I'd like to learn lessons while we're winning instead of trying to learn lessons while we're losing. So, as always, that is the best approach from the head coach.
Habs radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network, getting back to Eustis Annan and the 24-year-old signing a two-year contract at the Avalanche. It's got a cap hit of $837,500. He was set to be a restricted free agent after this season. He'll still be an RFA at the end of the deal, but the Avalanche showing some confidence in Annan in the way he's played with the two-year contract.
Yeah, and he's earned it. And, I mean, $837,000 for 2 years for one of your two goalies is amazing. And every penny counts when it comes to the cap, when you're trying to pay Casey Mittelstadt, who's an RFA next year. Sean Walker has deserved a look. How much is he going to demand? But he fits this team like a glove. You have eight unrestricted free agents currently on the roster, and so how do those get filled out? You have one more year left on Mikko Rantanen's current deal. So the planning process is always in motion for Chris McFarland, and to, again, basically pay both of your goaltenders what most teams pay for one, and with the case of the Avalanche, it's probably less than what a lot of teams pay for one, is a huge win. It's a team-friendly deal. He gets some stability. It's a one-way contract, so that's an indication that Anninen is the number two goaltender for next season. And then with Alexander Georgiev being UFA after next year, we'll see what happens for the number one spot after that. But it's a deserved contract for Eustis Anninen, I think. The past couple months have been very good for him work-wise, results-wise. Technically, they've been good. So the Avs never just dish out contracts, just to dish out contracts. This one is very much deserved.
Avalanche radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. I want you to go back to the Pittsburgh game, because we've seen some incredible comebacks by the Avalanche. The down 3-0 in the second period at Vancouver, and then you had Sunday, where let's spot them four. Let's go ahead and let's have some fun with this. Spot them four goals, score five unanswered, go on to win. Just what an incredible game the Avs had against Pittsburgh.
Well, and you know, we talked about the next shift with the Suzuki goal last night. The Avalanche did that to Pittsburgh because Sean Walker scores 25 seconds after it's 4-0 to make it 4-1, and then Trenin gets a deflection to make it 4-2, and then you could kind of tell that Pittsburgh knew what was coming their way, and And the Avalanche smelled blood a little bit, but I can understand from a team perspective the energy of that game. And then going into this game versus the Montreal Canadiens, which again was just, you know, if you missed it, I'm not sure that you missed it. If you get my point.
Right, exactly.
And it was kind of a, usually Tuesday nights are different, but I'm not much of a full moon guy, but it had that sort of feeling last night. So to go from the energy of Sunday, one of the greatest comeback victories, frankly, in franchise history, only the third time I think it's been a four-goal comeback, to that type of game yesterday, I can understand the lack of energy and the frustration, because we were all feeling on top of the world on Sunday, because that was as good as it gets. And that's more of what the Avalanche are. And even Cogliano said yesterday, he said, you know, there are some days where we cannot score our problems. Now, defensively, I don't think they had a ton of problems versus the Montreal Canadiens, but they just didn't get the bounces on the other end of the ice. But I think resiliency is one of the key cogs in the wheel for this Colorado Avalanche team, and it will come into play many times throughout the rest of the regular season and definitely into the playoffs. So I think that last night versus Montreal is more the exception, and the fight and the energy and the resilience that we saw Sunday and frankly, 25 times this season is more of what the Avalanche are all about in their quest for the Cup.
Connor McGahey with us today on the Team Sports Network. Any update on Nikolai Kovalenko, player out of the KHL, and where that sits right now?
He's been loaned to the Colorado Eagles, and he suffered that injury literally in the last 2 minutes of his last playoff game in the KHL, an unnecessary hit at center ice. So he's rehabbing with the Eagles at the AHL level. So that's he's in and around the Mile High City. He posted the other day that he was taking in the Nuggets game. So he's here and he's doing work to try and play with the Eagles. And we'll see what needs to happen. I mean, the Avalanche don't need him in the lineup. He's a possibility. And but he's around and taking steps that if that is a path that the Avalanche want to take here in the coming weeks, they can do so. But as of right now, officially loaned to the Colorado Eagles for rehab purposes.
All right, Avalanche radio voice Connor McGahey with us. I have to ask you, Connor, since you also do PA for the Broncos, the new uniforms are supposed to come out before the 25th. When you're up doing PA for the Broncos this season, Greg Pinner says they're going to have elements of Colorado. What do you think we'll see from the Broncos uniforms, Connor McGahey, there will be elements of Colorado?
I understand that this is a rhetorical question, that you know the answer. And I don't know. I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to have elements of a mountain in it. I don't know why. I just think that is the only conclusion that I can arrive to given that clue. I know that a lot of people just want maybe a clean, modern take on the old uniforms. And I know people go back and forth. Well, you know, the Broncos got blown out in three Super Bowls in the old ones, and then one with the new horse. But I think that fans want a little bit of nostalgia when it comes to the Broncos uniforms. I'm not sure they're going to get it. So I don't know what they're going to be. But if given that clue, I would say that some sort of mountain feature would be the conclusion that I would arrive at.
Look, I know they're going to keep the Cyber Bronco. I still would like to see the original snorting, you know, Bronco.
Yeah, I think that's something we can all agree on.
But
for the most part.
But I think if he wants elements of Colorado, have Thunder, the horse in the D, the Broncos mascot, have it drawn by Parker and Stone of South Park. Have it be a South Park looking Thunder. I think that the elements of Colorado, right? Correct?
Oh boy. Oh yeah, that would go over really well. That would go over great. People would love that.
Am I the only one that would want that? I think I might be very much in the minority.
You're literally on Davis Island right now.
It's a place
in a Subaru.
Exactly, in a Subaru. Yes, I'm very much in my own island most of the time when it comes to certain ideas that I come up with.
But you know what? That's nice and peace and quiet. I've killed to be on my own island sometimes.
He's going to have a volleyball. Because really. That's all you really need, just your volleyball to talk to you the whole time.
That's right. Take good care of Wilson.
Exactly. Wilson. Hey, Connor, appreciate it. Thank you so much, man.
You bet, fellas. Have a great day.
All right, take care. Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, does not like my South Park Bronco idea. Does not like it at all.
Doesn't.
You can get Casa Bonita to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
Casa Bonita.
Have the Cliff Divers wear the new uniforms.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Why not? A little cross promotion. Never hurt anybody.
Yeah, never hurt anybody. All right. 8:56. Coming up next hour, CSU voice Brian Roth will join us. Put a finishing touches on the, which was really a great season, ended up being for CSU making the tournament. And also Scott Hastings from the Nuggets telecast. Scott Hastings will join us at 9:20 this morning. Talk a little Nuggets basketball. Nuggets Phoenix tonight after our coverage of high school baseball with Palisade and Grand Junction. So that's coming up next hour. Plus, we still have to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. That's on the way next hour as well. So it is a Wine About a Wednesday. Chance to win a bottle of Talon wine today with your complaint. Send it to us on the team line, 970-242-1340.